Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so nice. I got to do a little coloring this morning. It's day two for the children. That's right. Day two. How about a nice round of applause for my coloring skills? Thank you. Thank you. That touched me. Thank you, Aunt. You got a good stare. Yes, she does. All right.
I can say that your choice of blue is interesting considering your time.
The clouds in the seas, I wasn't sure. Actually, I was using a highlighter, and then I got out a colored pencil. I know you can't see the white, but I actually colored in the clouds some, but, you know. Anyway, I'll learn how to do things a little better. It's actually kind of one of my favorite things as a teacher, kind of craft time. I like to do craft time myself. Today is the end. Well, that's the sermon title. It's the end. And today is the conclusion of our study of Acts. And so Acts chapter 28. And next Sunday we will have a divinity school student. He's been here before. And this Wednesday will mark Ash Wednesday. Does anybody know what Ash Wednesday recognizes, other than the fact that we're going to have a service? Dr. Wortham.
Yes. Please, the service is at 6:30 on Wednesday. Please invite persons to come with you. Ash Wednesday, we're going to combine Ash Wednesday and Lent together. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of fasting. It's also a time of repentance. And so what we will do is celebrate those themes in the service. We'll also hand out a list of readings, because from Lent to Easter, it's 46 days. And so we'll also be talking about the 40 days of wilderness that Jesus was in the temptation, but also Moses and the Israelite people. But we also have our own wildernesses and temptations and the idea of spiritual strength. So we'll tie all of that together in the service, and we will have some time of celebration. So please, as we enter this Easter season, be thinking about prayer, take prayer to another level. Think about repentance. Think about our life, our spiritual disciplines during this period. And please invite someone to come with you.
Peggy has brought in a plaque for James Jim Meredith Barringer, who has posthumously received, I'm sorry, I don't have my white gloves on, but I'm going to have to take it out of the plastic. Okay. Lord, be with me and not mess this up. Okay. He has received the Order of the Longleaf Pine, which is a real high honor for anyone to receive, issued by the governor of North Carolina. So, we are proud.
Yes, we are.
I'm having a hard time seeing it, honestly. Would you like to read it?
Privileged to enjoy fully all rights granted to members of this exalted.
which is the special privilege to propose the following North Carolina toast and select a company anywhere in the free world. There's to the land of the longleaf pine, the summer land where the sun doth shine, where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. There's to down home the old North State. Signed, Murray Cooper.
Thank you, Gwendolyn. I couldn't have read it better myself. That's true. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Alan. How many hands do you have, Alan? Two. That's right. Two. Yeah, been prepping them all day. Okay, don't hang with me, Alan. Okay, are there any birthdays? Let's see here. Any birthdays? Nope. Any anniversaries? Nope. Anybody just want to give us some money? Okay, we'll wait for that. Yes. Okay, so immediately following today's service, gather around Hope. It's always good to gather around Hope and talk about the Easter services that are coming up very soon. You know, actually, next Sunday's March the 1st, and yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not a very good mother. It's Johanna's birthday on Thursday, the
27th. I didn't want to say anything. Do you know how to play Happy Birthday? Let me go get that fancy cup. Happy birthday, Mark. Whoops. Thank you. Yes. Now the inside of the cup is not lonely. Good. We do have no news that I'm not exactly sure. Aaron Hamlet went to the hospital with some complications that may be related to dehydration. Good. Lori had a pretty good week this week. She had one night, comparatively speaking, yes, one night of some good rest, which consisted of about 5 hours. That doesn't sound like good rest to me. But compared to the rest she had been receiving, or lack thereof, that was a good night of rest. I had an interesting Friday, so I started practice with 10 players. I had 3 people out for various reasons. One couldn't come to school because of toad conditions. It was autocorrect. He meant to say road conditions, so he didn't even come to school. And then I started practice with 10 players, and I ended practice with 9. That's because when they all learned a valuable lesson that you got to pay attention. We all have to pay attention. And keep your eye on the ball is, yeah, that's real, but it's also a metaphor. So he got hit in the eye with the ball. He didn't catch it. So you're supposed to catch it, not get hit in the eye with the ball. He went to the hospital, and so I followed instructions, and my trainer did a great job. She just sent me to UNC, but he went to Duke. So I had a wonderful time meandering around UNC hospitals. And, you know, I really didn't even get, like, bent out of shape or anything. I was like, oh, well, you know. And ended up going to Duke, and I got to see him, and he came out, and And what was interesting was, this is one of those moments where everything was fine. He did go through a pretty massive panic attack when they told him he had a cyst on his brain. But the doctor's like, it's nothing. So they're going to do some more tests, but it seems to be just a very benign thing that they found on the scan. But now they know it's there. So he didn't go to the hospital to get a CAT scan, except he went to the hospital to get a CAT scan just to check, make sure everything was fine. So he didn't have any broken bones. He's got a pretty good stitch mark on his cheekbone. But he's doing fine. So he walked out Friday night, and his name's Isaiah McNeil. Are there any other prayer concerns that we need to lift, or any announcements for the good of the church? Sue's niece, Sherry, is having surgery this week. Back surgery on Thursday. Anything else? Tammy's brother, Barry. Anything else? Very well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would, let's have a moment of silent prayer. And then I'll have some words, and let us all join together as printed in the bulletin, the Lord's Prayer, as he had taught us to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these opportunities where we are gathered together collectively in your house to praise your holy name and to come upon your throne of grace, asking and pleading for various requests. And Lord, we lift up Aaron and her health concerns, and we pray for Isaiah and his concussion recovery. We lift up Barry, Tammy's brother, who has been diagnosed with throat cancer. Sherry, Sue's niece, having back surgery this week. Lord, we continue to lift up Lori and Mike to give them rest, to give them some relief from pain. And we continue to remember William Small and everything that he is going through and their family. And Lord, we thank you for the screams and the hollers of life. And we know that life is often hard. Yet we always try to remember the hope and grace that you have poured upon us and the many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, we lift up these people and those not mentioned this morning. And we come together in one voice as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning will be Jesus Loves Me, hymn 652. We'll sing the first and the last verses of 652. Let us stand and sing together.
Gracious God, we thank you so much for your holy word that reminds us that indeed Jesus loves us. He loved us while we were yet sinners and has died for us and has given us an opportunity to be ambassadors of his kingdom. Lord, you've poured out so many blessings upon us, and now we simply return a portion to you. Multiply these gifts so that they may be used for your kingdom, that it may reflect your heavenly glory on earth. May your will be done, Lord, with these gifts. In your name we pray. Amen. It's time for children's time. Children's time. Yep, that's what it's called. Children's time. Awesome. Alan. Alan, do you have more or less than two goldfish in your cup? It's got to be more than two. It's got to be. Alan, we're going to be over here. All right. Wow. Yeah. Well, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Alan, right here. If you want to run away, that's fine. Won't be the first. We'll be right here, buddy. All right, I'm just going to read exactly what my Bible says about day two. Day two. What number is that, Jesse? It's a two. That's right. So, you want to hold that? You be my buddy, hold that. Good. All right, Michael, you ready? All right. Then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water and the under the expanse and the water above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Wow. How many people have ever seen a cloud? You ever seen a cloud, Jesse? You know what clouds are? Up in the sky. Which way is the sky? Up, up, and away. You know what's interesting is that there's a lot going on in these couple verses. Yep, there are. Is that my copy? Wow. I should not be separated from my copy. What we should be separated from is sin. Yeah. In fact, in that verse, they talk about kind of heaven and earth. That's somewhere we all want to go. We can sit here and talk about separated. Holy. The word holy itself means to be separated, set apart. That's right. And you know what? Day two is what you're going to work on today in CIA, Children in Action. So when you look up at the sky and you say, oh my, just think about God and all he's created, including you and you and you and you. Are you ready to go? Okay. How many car seats in mommy's car?
Three.
Three? Not yet. What's today's magic number, Alan? Two. Two. Okay, off you go to the wild blue yonder. Hey, if you guys need something to model your work after, you're more than welcome to take my copy. Just don't look too close because I think I went outside the lines. I looked on Amazon, they didn't have any clouds.
They did.
No. Actually, that's not true. They probably do. Yeah, they say the children's sermons, the children are just a go-between to the parental ears, separated. You know, they say that a lot of scholars, if you look at a couple things interesting in the creation narratives is one, it's evening and then it's morning. You know, normally we start our day in the morning and then we retire in the evening. The text is clear. There was evening and then there was morning. There was evening and then morning. Evening and morning. God's doing the work before we even get up. Period. Day two, there's no mention of it being good. So after each day, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. After day six, it's very good, the culmination of creation. And the day seven, God rests. Day two, there is no inclusion of being good. And many say that the day two and three are actually one process. So that's just a little exegetical bonus for you today. And I'm going to pick up in Isaiah. What are the chances? Isaiah. Prayed for Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm just going to go up into verse 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, now we're talking like 8th century BC, okay? King of Judah. I saw the Lord seated on high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Now, I don't think it's a small temple. I think it's a big robe because God is bigger. I could have used this. God is bigger than the boogeyman, as VeggieTales would say. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. Now that is an amazing image. Six wings, two, two, and two. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." Now that's a familiar phrase for us, holy, holy, holy. The foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices. Well, that's pretty powerful. And the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, so this is Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Not King Uzziah. We're talking about God Almighty. And notice Isaiah's confessional, realistic attitude. That he's unworthy. Remember Moses, he was pretty close, right? And God says, "You can only see my backside." So he, you know, and that's where we first see what we call the divine attributes. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And here Isaiah is able to see, and he's like, "I'm not worthy." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. Good idea. Even if you're an angel, you should probably not pick up a glowing coal. It's probably hot. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." Now, as I read this one section of what God is saying, who shall I send? Coupled with what? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? The unity and the Trinity right here. "Go, say to these people, keep listening but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive. Dull the minds of these people, deafen their ears and blind their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their minds, turn back and be healed. That doesn't sound too good to me. It almost sounds like God is setting us up for failure. We, on this side of the resurrection, know that's not true. So, I'll read the rest of that later. Because we're going to see this quoted at the end of Acts. And actually, as we move forward into the month of March, we'll be looking at the parables, some parables found in Luke's gospel. And you're going to see the same text quoted by Jesus.
Second congregational hymn this morning will be hymn 304, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll sing the first and last verse of 304. Let us stand and sing.
So Acts 28, I'm going to simply read, picking up in verse 17. After 3 days, he called together the leaders of the Jews. This is Paul. He calls together the leaders of the Jews. He's finally made it to Rome. At last, he's got to Rome. And when they gathered, he said to them, brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our forefathers, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans who, after examining me, wanted to release me since I have committed no capital offense. Because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. It was not as though I had any accusation against my nation. So for this reason, I've asked to see you and speak to you. In fact, it is for the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. And they said to him, we haven't received any letters about you from Judea. None of the brothers has come and reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we consider it suitable to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, the followers of the way, Christians, we are aware that it is spoken against everything, everywhere. Or it is spoken everywhere, excuse me. After arranging a day with him, many came to him at his lodging. From dawn till dusk, he expounded and witnessed about the kingdom of God. He persuaded them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others did not believe. Disagreeing among themselves, they began to leave after Paul made one statement. The Holy Spirit spoke correctly through the prophet Isaiah to your forefathers. Go to this people and say, you will listen and listen, never understand. You will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this saving work of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And after he said these things, the Jews departed while engaging in a long, prolonged debate among themselves. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. don't make this stuff up, but apparently February the 10th, not too long ago, today's the 23rd, some recognize February 10th as the Feast of the Shipwreck. We didn't plan it out that way. It just kind of happened that way. So Luke, the author of Acts. Luke, somewhat like a biography, if you will, of Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection, his baptisms, his temptation, his ministry, his healings. And then Acts is a light, it's an account of the early church. And the official title would be Under the Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And one thing that we've seen through this journey through Acts is the incredible acts of the apostles. That they spoke boldly, that they did incredible things. Acts starts, you know, with the ascension. And here we are, we're right here on the verge of Lent that takes us into the Easter season, which then takes us into the ascension. And so we've come full circle. And so then we have Pentecost. And this, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about the room shaking earlier. That's what happened when the disciples were in that upper room. And the Holy Spirit descends, tongues of fire. And it's like shaking like an earthquake, this violent wind. And Peter's first sermon to the church. And 3,000 people were baptized. And we see the apostles, specifically Peter and John, stepping out. And not backing down, regardless of what happened to them. They considered it worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. You can't stop us from talking. And eventually, we see Paul in chapter 9. As he's on his way to Damascus to gather up some followers of the way, what is he going to do to them? Most likely, they're going to die. And Jesus comes and he grabs Saul metaphorically and he shakes him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And we realize that the message of good news is not limited to Israel, but to the entire world. And that's good news to us. And Paul becomes the main character of Acts. And for many chapters, we've been following Paul in this route to Rome, where apparently there were a million people that lived in Rome at the time. No bigger city in the ancient world of the Mediterranean than Rome. In fact, who ruled the world at the time was Rome. And Paul appeals to Caesar because he's a Roman citizen. And he's on this ship. He's a prisoner. But if you didn't notice, for some reason, Paul has the power and authority to persuade the people to listen to him. Normally, a prisoner doesn't have that power. And he says, Nobody gets off this ship. If you want to live, you stay on here. And they're tossed around for 14 days to the point where they take ropes and throw them over the bow so they can go underneath. I moved the carport out to the property a few weeks ago. And let me tell you, I wrestled with that carport like Jacob at Jabbok. Man, I tell you, I'd go out there, I'd leave when I went the next time. I'd have less screws in that structure than when I got there. And so right now, it's like the boat upside down because I got straps going over the roof to hold the pieces of tin on so they don't fly away. And they take these ropes underneath the boat to hold the boat together so it won't break apart. That's how bad the storm is. Then they throw everything overboard. They cut the anchors loose. They said, we're gonna run this thing aground. And they end up on this tiny island called Malta. Now, there's debate about actually where Paul landed. Even today, they're arguing over the exact location. If they take the biblical details and they try to match them up, they found some anchors back in the 60s, four anchors, that they think they could be from the ship. There's actually, I mean, the island of Malta, it's like all Paul. We can argue all day long, is it the Bay of Paul, St. Paul's Bay? Is it St. Thomas Bay? Is it Salina? Where did that ship run aground? And there's some good arguments here and there. What you can't debate is the island of Malta is inundated with Paul. He's everywhere. Paul lived there for 3 months. For 3 months he stayed there and lived in a cave. When he first got on shore, the Maltese came and they were like, they greeted him. They started a fire to warm him up. And a snake comes out and bites Paul on the arm. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's a murderer. The gods got him. Nothing happened to Paul. Now they think Paul's a god. Well, apparently there are no venomous snakes that are native to Malta. In fact, at one point, they would take the limestone out of the cave where Paul lived as a serum throughout all of Italy. Malta is the fifth smallest sovereign country in the 10th most densest populated. I mean, this small little island, and there's like 450,000 people that live there. And you cannot refute the fact that something happened on this island of Malta. Very strategic place. You see, it's right in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's probably about 50 miles from Italy, about 175 miles from Africa. What a great place to set up shop. Especially, you know, you set up a little naval base there. The Greeks have occupied it. The Romans have occupied it. The French have occupied it. The British have occupied it. And it wasn't until the 1964, they gained some freedom. And it was in 1974 that the country of Malta really was its own self, its own sovereign state. One of the smallest of the European Union. They haven't gone with the exit plan yet, but so what happens here? So about 3 months, Paul is staying on this island of Malta. The governor of Malta, Publius, his father is sick. What does Paul do? He heals him. And then what do? They bring everybody who's got some illness or something, they bring them to Paul, and he heals them. The governor ends up giving him the ship so he can get to Rome. When Paul finally gets to Rome, or to Italy, when when Paul finally gets to Italy. After 3 months, we put out to a ship, out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of twin gods, Castor and Pollux. Now, this is, we can argue that particular translation. But it was an Alexandrian ship with some gods. Not too long ago, they found this huge, like, ton, 2,000-pound anchor that had two inscriptions on that anchor of Isis and Sepphoris or some Greco-Egyptian gods, which they're like, oh, this is the anchor. So there's stuff out there. We put in at Syracuse, this is Sicily, and stayed there for 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and the following day, we went to Puteoli. So now they're heading up, right? Now the winds are with them. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum Appius, or Three Taverns. So you're talking like 30 and 40 miles respectively. Traveling up the Appian Way. This is like I-40 of the day. But still, by foot, or even by a little, donkey or whatever, 30 or 40 miles, we know that's a long way. That's not a short drive in today's world. On I-40. Especially at certain times of the day, I guess. So why are they traveling this far? Because news has come to the town that this man, Paul, who has the good news, who has suffered for the sake of the gospel, is here in town. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. And this is what I read earlier. So he pulls everyone together. He's like, I haven't done anything wrong. And they reply, we haven't heard that you've done anything wrong. It's like yesterday, I got an email from a player. Coach, I'm not going to be at practice today. I replied, I didn't know we had practice today. It was actually my fault. I got paste happy on one of the documents, but here we go. Some believed. And some didn't. Some believed, and some didn't. And then at the very end, right after the Isaiah text, for 2 years, Paul stayed there in his own house, rented, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, there's no mistaking of what happened to the island of Malta. We can argue about where that landing was, and I find it an interesting story. But we cannot deny that Paul's being on that island for 3 months totally shaped the identity and culture of that island. Publius became the bishop of Malta. Now, here are the good news. I want to go back to Isaiah. Because these aren't trick questions. God wants us to have ears to hear. He wants us to have eyes that see. He does not want our hearts to be calloused. Isaiah says, until when, Lord? Until when? When is God going to relent? Clearly, Israel and Judah needed a little discipline. Until cities lie in ruins without inhabitants. Houses are without people. The land is ruined and desolate. Remember, when you enter the land I'm giving you, the land flowing with milk and honey, the cities you didn't build, the vineyards you didn't plant, all this stuff, just remember God. And Israel has forgotten. And the Lord drives the people far away, leaving great emptiness in the land, though a tenth will remain in the land, and it will be burned again like the terebinth or the oak, which leaves a stump when felled. The holy seed is a stump. John the Baptist says the axe is already at the root of the tree. You see, Jesus is that shoot that comes from that holy stump. We are gathered to be equipped and refreshed. We are gathered to be scattered. Our job is not just to come here and hang out. Our job is to come here and to be equipped with the good news. And that's the story. It's not the end. Jesus says it is finished, but it's not finished. It is our beginning. And his Acts ends in such a peculiar way. That was not the end of Paul. Many say that Paul made it all the way to Spain as he had dreamed, yet died at the hands of Nero, executed for the gospel. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the story of Paul and the incredible acts of the apostles that we read in your holy word. Give us the strength to be bold, to be courageous, to live with that courage of the apostles that we have seen so clearly in the book of Acts, and prepare our hearts not to be calloused. Open our ears so that we may hear, our eyes so that we may see, so that we may understand the greatness and goodness of your grace and your mercy. As we enter the season of Lent, prepare our hearts to really be prepared for the Easter season, not to go through the motions, but to fully take in the immense and enormity of the story of your love for us, your broken people. In your name we pray. At this time, our hand of decision will be.
Good time. We will sing hymn 417, Jesus is Tenderly Calling. We'll sing just the first verse of hymn 417. Let us stand and sing together.
So we are gathered to be scattered to go into the world with the good news that we have been gifted with. Go ye therefore into all the nations. We might not get there. Malta, I'd love to go visit Malta. But regardless of where we go, take the good news with you. And all God's people said, amen.